Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Welcome to the Jim Jefferies Show podcast. I have something to tell you all. I listened to the podcast for the first time ever this afternoon because I put my phone in my pocket and somehow it hit the podcast button and then my voice just started coming out. I thought, hey, this is a good show. And then I was listening to it for a while and I thought, I speak very quickly. I was obviously very coked up for that show. And then I found out that it was on 1.5 times speed. And then I slowed it down. I'm like, I'm drunk. So what you really need to listen to this show is at 1.25. 1.25 is the reasonable amount to listen to this show where I'm not drunk, I'm not coked up, I'm just Jim. Welcome to the Jim Jefferies Show. Do you like Jim Jefferies? If the answer is yes, keep listening. If the answer is no, we don't have a solution for you. Jim Jefferies, the show. That was a good one. What did you think of that one?
It's a little subdued. Usually you're a little higher energy than that. Okay.
Would you like to introduce our guest?
Oh yeah, of course. Today our guest is comedian and writer and you know everything, right? Tommy Jonigan,
yeah.
Tommy.
Actor?
I do two things and you named them all and okay. Then said you do everything, which I know, feel like made me feel good.
I love how we always introduce our guests like this. They're a comedian. They're all fucking comedians. We've never brought someone on like, this is Gary. He's an architect.
We've had a couple just writers from the show on.
They're comedians. They work in the comedy community.
Julia was on one time.
My hairstylist. And she isn't funny. So that is true. I did today when we were doing... Did you see the show? Did you come to the show?
I did. I just got here for this, and I barely made it in time for this.
Oh, well, this will be awkward
I'm
for
so
you.
I'm so sorry.
This will be awkward for you. This is like talking about the Berlin Wall.
It'll
and
all be new.
Living in France.
I think you'll be able to catch up. It's pretty easy.
Anyway, so Julia, I discovered, was doing my hair, and me and Julia love each other, and Julia's been doing my hair for a long time. She's a magician because I have no hair, and on TV it looks like I have hair.
Yeah.
And I realized that this is the longest relationship I've ever had with a female, is the girl who does my hair. She did my hair on Legit, and we're very loyal to each other.
She's
and
when gay,
I when
so,
I say
you know.
The longest relationship I had with a female, I'm including my mother. Because we've been very despondent with each other for a long time. What bit am I meant to read for plugs right now, Forrest?
It's probably there.
You've seen Jeff Ross present Roast Battle on Comedy Central and you thought those comedians are mean or took a joke too far, you ain't heard nothing yet. Join Brian Moses and DJ Coach T. For Roast Battle.
Supernatural. It's good as it was last week. Yeah.
Coach Teela. It's a festival. For Roast Battle, the podcast, as they give an in-depth look into the hit international TV series, as well as weekly live shows and interviews with world-famous comedy store in Hollywood, California. They interview the comedy store. That's cool.
Yeah.
I wonder what that would say. It's like, oh, it used to be all right. 30 years ago, Paulie Shore used to shit around the place.
You'll hear That's all it would say, the comedy.
Yeah. It's still upset about when Paulie Shore was allowed in there as a child. I once put my son in there and everyone fucking condemned me. You'll hear some insensitive jokes. You'll hear some politically incorrect jokes. You'll hear every joke that you'll hear comes from a place of love. I don't know about that because it sounds mean-spirited to me, but this isn't... I'm reading this. Watch the new season of Jeff Ross Presents Roast Battle Tuesdays at 9... At 10, 9 Central, only on Comedy Central. Then listen to the Roast Battle podcast for all the behind-scene actions every Wednesday on your podcast feed. Subscribe now and leave a joke of your own when you rate and review.
You're supposed to subscribe and then roast the podcast?
I did pretty good there.
No, I'm just saying.
Okay. Well, I'm Jim Jefferies. And Jim Jefferies, I speak about myself in the third person from now on. I will be performing it's already out there. This is me now on Netflix. It's people seem to like it. I don't know how many people are watching it, but for the most part, people are enjoying that. There's a wonderful piece on docking in the middle. If you don't know what docking is, go Google that. August 10th and 11th, I'll be at the Mirage in Las Vegas. August 25th at the Neil S. How do I say that?
Doesn't matter. Just say it. Blaisdell Center. It's in Honolulu.
Blaisdell Center.
We'll figure it out.
So. In Honolulu. How many centers can there be in Honolulu?
Neil S. Blaisdell Center Concert Hall in Honolulu, Hawaii.
I'll be performing in Hawaii. I got to be honest with you. I don't give a fuck if you show up. I'm just going there to lay on a fucking beach.
Good promo.
The only thing the comedy doing is interrupting my holiday. Jack, drink. Thank you.
What happened with your son at the comedy store?
What's that?
What happened with your son at the
comedy
store?
Oh, what happened was, I think it was Joe Rogan and Doug Stanhope were doing like a podcast or something like that. And I literally, like, Doug Stanhope contacted me and said, hey, we were down here.
End of the world. I know it was election night, right?
Yeah, what happened was I got a text from Doug saying, hey, come and hang out. And I had my son for the weekend. And I was driving by with my son in the back of the car, and I thought, this will be cool. I'll bring my son down and say hello to everybody. And then in the end, someone said, hey, why don't you join the podcast? And I went, ah, fuck it. My son was about 3 at the time. And so I went, sure, I'll join the podcast. And then I sort of left my son with a whole lot of comedians in the back room of the comedy store. My son started to have a panic that I abandoned him because he didn't know these people. And he just stood behind the curtain, and I never seen such fear in his eyes. So I left the podcast, gave him a bit of a cuddle. And I said, come out, you can just sit on my lap, right? And then Joe Rogan freaked the fuck out about it. Like, there shouldn't be a kid on the stage or fucking blah, blah, blah. And then he choked me out or whatever he does.
And he choked you out with your kid, huh?
And so anyway, there's a lot of stuff on the internet about how what much of a douchebag I am for bringing a kid on a podcast. But it was what it was.
Who cares?
I thought it'd be a cute little thing. And also, it was wonderful because Bill Burr was on the podcast.
Yeah.
And I thought there was a picture of me, Joe Rogan, Doug Stanhope, Bill Burr, and I think there's some other comics there. And I, in all my vanity, thought that that would be a cool photo for my son to look back on. All these legends of comedy, but I seem to get condemned on Reddit. Because it turns out that the people of Reddit are a reasonable bunch. Now, what did we talk about on the show?
First of all, I didn't remember that until you just started saying I remembered it. Like, I don't see the problem with...
Started bringing dogs on stage, we opened the door to kids.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I explained to you how it happened. It happened very organically.
Tommy has kids. Yeah.
It wasn't like I was sitting at home going, let's get my son on the stage of the comedy store.
I think that's fine still.
I don't have kids, but you have
your
same age, right?
I hope your kids are paid regular now because of that.
Yeah.
I hope you got him. You're taking spots from other comedians.
And then what happened
because
was
Jim Jefferies' kid.
The people at the comedy store started freaking out because licensing laws, if there's a child on the stage, the whole club could be shut down. Like, the fucking cops are going to show up and get angry because there's a kid. Do you know the amount of cocaine I've taken in that fucking back room? And
so,
now you're worried about the legality of a fucking 3-year-old sitting there. Right. It wasn't like he was stealing fucking drinks from behind the bar and getting fucking hammered. He took a little bit of smack from a needle. That was it.
Your son's been on stages a million times.
Yeah. My son has wandered out on stage when I was there, and my son's an adorable little fucking kid.
How old's he now?
17 or something. It's been a while.
Five? Oh, I got a 5 and a 2.
Yeah, and are they yours or just people in
both
your basement?
Both are mine. I mean, I guess. The older one definitely looks like me. The younger one is taller and looks more like my wife, so, you know. If shit's the fan, I'll swab her mouth.
You'll swab her mouth. With what part of your body? Which brings us on to what we talked about in the show, pedophile jokes. So in Act 1, we talked about how James Gunn got fired from the Guardians of the Galaxy movie. I know James Gunn reasonably well. He's best friends with one of my exes. Nice fella, you know what I mean? I've never really gotten a pedo vibe off the guy.
These are jokes.
No, this is my whole point I'm about to make. He made some jokes. Now, I have made pedophile jokes in the past. I have made rape jokes in the past. I have made some horrendous jokes in the past. But that's what jokes are. And so the right-wing people were trying to pin him. And the jokes were so tepid as well. They were like things like, oh, I'm in this hotel. The shower really sucks. It's like a 5-year-old's pissing on my head.
Yeah.
And then there was another joke that he said, I'm raping a kid right now. I mean it. This isn't a joke. Now, that was another one that he said. No, that would have gotten a bigger laugh.
The best part about after being raped is you're probably thinking it's so good that I'm not being raped right now?
Yes.
That's a solid joke.
Solid joke. James is a funny guy. If you meet him, he's a funny guy. He's not a comedian as such. His jokes aren't of a high level. We made a reference to that, that they weren't great jokes in the same way that I'm not a great director. But nonetheless, they were jokes. Now, what happened was with the thing is there was sort of – it was double-fold because James did say a lot of things about Roseanne being fired. Also, the defense that people have been using that was 10 years ago, which would make James 42. I was a child. I didn't know what was happening. I was at the ripe age of 42. I didn't know what I was doing. Twitter was the new world. Anyway, but alas, they were just jokes. Now, I don't believe the guy should have been fired. It's Disney's prerogatives. No one's freedom of speech had gotten in the way. But then people started saying, oh, he's a pedophile, which is ridiculous. Now, I once had in Australia, I made some rape jokes. I had people protesting at the front of my show saying that anyone who came to my show was supporting a rapist. I have never raped and been caught. And I think that's a – God, you guys have to laugh or these jokes don't fucking work.
Oh, I thought these were still real.
Yeah. Sorry. No. So I've never been –
just wink at me when it's a joke. Okay.
So I've never raped anybody. I found it so bizarre that some rape jokes, the rape jokes that I was in trouble for was talking about Bill Cosby being a rapist, which I think is quite the opposite of me condoning rape in any way. And I don't think that what James did condoned pedophilia or something like that. So then the next argument comes out, well, Roseanne Barr got fired. Now, the big difference between what Roseanne Barr did and what James Gunn did is very fucking simple. Roseanne Barr has said racist things in the past. She refers to a person as looking like someone from the Planet of the Apes. We have very few rules in our society, and one of them that we have all decided on as a society is we don't call black people monkeys, right? And she did it. And there's a difference between what she did in the sense that she was saying that person is something, and what James Gunn did said, he said, I'm a pedophile. He was putting the joke onto himself. At no stage did he call another person a pedophile. And that's the difference. But people don't seem to see the difference between jokes because they're so hung up on your left and right views where you go, if we fire Roseanne Barr, then we have to fire James Gunn. Now.
You are at 1.5 speed today, like automatically on your own. You're cranking it out today. You good?
I thought I was saying some good shit.
No, you're saying good shit. You're just like, you're on fire.
That's hurtful.
Okay. I just want to say, not all James Gunn's jokes were good. Let's make that point. Like, but it doesn't matter.
No,
it doesn't matter that
jokes.
They weren't good because that's the whole point of comedy is like trying.
They were jokes, and you read them, and you go, "This guy should write a superhero movie."
Yeah.
You didn't think he should do stand up.
This is one that The Expendables was so manly. I fucked the shit out of the little pussy boy next to me. The boys are back in town.
He's now doing another Guardians movie, but it's called Children Shouldn't Have Guardians.
There you go.
How did I not? We could have put that in the show. It's a good joke. How did I just think of that now?
I don't know. But you just winked at me. That's why I laughed. So wasn't that funny? Look at that laugh I got right there. They're turning on you.
You do the show. I'll be quiet.
Okay, we tried that last week. You want to do it again?
No, the listenership went down.
No, it was our highest rated ever, actually. I'm not making that up, right, Kelly?
Why do we
Well, you
always...
had a bonus listen because he turned it on in his pocket.
That's right, yeah.
So the numbers went up automatically.
It just kept going on.
Maybe there was a phone glitch.
That tipped it over. I've always said it's why we can get nominated for an Emmy because I didn't vote. Yeah, imagine if that was the one.
I can't believe you didn't vote.
I just thought we weren't, and what's the fucking point?
I know, but still.
And that's why we have Trump as a president.
Yeah.
All right. So we talked about that. Our view is that James Gunn isn't a pedophile and he shouldn't have been fired. And a testament to that was that people from Guardians of the Galaxy wrote an open letter, and this is including Chris Pratt or Brad or whatever his name is.
Pratt.
And
he prayed.
And he is a religious fella, and he signed it and said, "Oh no, not a pedophile."
The main point of the piece is that how people pretend to get outraged about stuff online when in fact probably very few, if any, people are actually upset about these things.
People
and
aren't
then,
outraged. People aren't grabbing their pearls. No one has read one of those tweets and felt immensely hurt. Even people who have been molested aren't watching those tweets and going, oh, my God.
Well, they're not searching for them, clearly. If you've been molested, that's not what you do.
Well, these aren't... these pedophile what I'm jokes. Saying is they might be inappropriate, but these aren't jokes that actually hurt anybody.
And sure.
Calling a black woman a monkey does hurt people.
Yeah.
And that's a big difference.
But even so we... The idea, what we did at the end. Which
Jack,
like
what
the,
am I drinking? It's delicious. It's a Moscow Mule. A Moscow Mule. And when do we get ginger beer into the building? I think we had it left over from some meat pie place. Oh, the meat pie place. This is the Australian ginger beer. We have to give a shout out to our friends at Cousin Maine Lobster, my favorite food in the world. They brought the lobster truck down and go. They gave everyone at the podcast. That was the weirdest burp ever, huh?
Yeah, your face was fucked up looking at that. It looked like CG at your face. It was really weird looking.
All right. I feel like Forrest has turned on me.
They gave everybody the podcast lobster rolls?
Forrest, you're getting a little comfortable in this job. Anyway, so...
Anyways, it was Lobstergate here. I don't know if you knew that. With the... Don't do that.
This is how you know it's a joke.
Every time
I tell a joke, I look like I've had a stroke now, so Forrest can laugh.
So earlier in the day, when we were in the writer's room, you were talking up the lobster truck for about 20 minutes.
The thing is, Cousin Maine Lobster is my favorite meal. I get it about 3 times a week. It was on Shark Tank, and it's just these lobster rolls, and they're packed full of fucking lobster, and it's just fucking delicious. And my favorite thing in the world is Australian prawns, and you call them shrimp in this country. And when I moved out to America, that was the thing I missed the most. But luckily, lobster is better in America than it is in Australia, right? So I switched over. I'm a lobster guy now here. And then I eat prawns when I'm back in Australia. And so I found this company. It's like my dream food. And so they know that I'm always in the store. And so they're always like, thanks for coming here, Jim, blah, blah, blah. And they kept on contacting me. Why don't we come down to the show? We give the staff some food, right? We give the staff some food. So I organized it, right? And I go up to the writer's room and I said, here we go. Lucky day, everyone. Everyone's getting lobster rolls. There's lobster rolls, there's lobster tacos, there's lobster.
You went through the whole menu. Okay, literally went through, and everyone's lobster, like salivating.
There's lobster quesadillas, there's lobster bisque. It's all fucking happening. We're all getting lobster. Yeah. And all the writers were like, this makes up for everything. And so they were so excited by the whole thing. And then Jack came in like the angel of darkness, like he just sort of drifted into the room. And
he did.
And he came in, he looked all nervous, and Jack whispered in my ear, it's only for people on the podcast. So I had to take back the lobster from all my staff. Like, you're not getting lobster.
The truck will be here.
The truck will be here. I'll be eating lobster, but you're not allowed to indulge. And then what happened was Caroline, who's one of our writer's assistants, I like Caroline. So Caroline was walking by, and I went, Caroline, come here. And so I put my arm around her and said, oh, this is the executive of the podcast. So I sneaked Caroline a lobster roll. She wasn't meant to fucking get one. And then she went up and ate it in front of all of them. Caroline's not the most popular staff member.
The lobster truck was on Shark Tank? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Not the truck, just the people who run the truck.
Yeah,
they're
going to
bring
money?
It in there. You're being ridiculous now.
No, but it does. It seems like it's a food truck with lobster rolls. I thought Shark Tank was for inventions, is my main question.
It used to be for inventions. Now it's for people who want to expand their company.
Oh.
Right, so because Shark Tank actually started out as a Dutch TV show called Dragon's Den, and there was a big show in Britain called Dragon's Den. I think in Canada it's still called Dragon's Den. The only place it's called Shark Tank is in America.
Shark Tank's better.
Dragon's Den used to be like literally like in, I used to watch it all the time in Britain, and it was okay. So in America, it's like this: I have this company, we made $4 million this year, and we'd like to expand it to other cities, and we think we can make more. And it's a place where you can sleep during the day and fucking get massages or some shit, right? And so they go, all right, we'll invest in this. But Shark Tank, Dragon's Den in Britain was just like this: I've made this paperclip that is far superior to any paperclip you've ever used before. You know, has anyone ever had the trouble of putting a paperclip on paper and thought, there's too much paper for this paperclip? I think I've invented a better paperclip. You may know me because I was the drummer for the Beatles. Anyway, so that's where it's Ringo Starr's company. Anyway.
Now we got the joke. You didn't need to wink on that one.
Forest.
I saw this lobster truck.
Forest.
Let me see that. Forest.
When I pulled in, it was parked in the closest parking spot. And this is how I knew how important I was. I see the sign that says Jim Jefferies Show is right in front of me. Mm. And the lady says, here's your parking spot. What you're going to do is do a U-turn out of the lot and go across the street. And I was like, oh.
You know, it's funny because we're guests on the show here, but whenever I invite pretty girls to the show, all of a sudden they get parking spots.
Yeah, they're right up front, I'm sure. They're inside the lobster truck.
Next to the lobster truck, yeah.
Yeah, they're getting free lobster.
They make this handicapped guy go to the garage. Paint over that wheelchair. Put this babe in this spot.
I've always thought that about, like, fucking when you're at the airport and they have those seats that are next to the gate that have the wheelchair sign on them, like, this is for disabled people. But again,
drool a bunch.
No, it sounds a little hacky, but aren't the people in wheelchairs, haven't they already got chairs? Like, we need people in wheelchairs don't need another seat.
I think it's for whoever's with them.
No, it's for other disabilities because we decide the disability sign is just the wheelchair,
so you knew the
wheelchair
thing.
So the thing is what I'm saying is we need a cerebral palsy picture.
Yeah.
What's that gonna look like?
Just like a starfish dancing. Anyway, so
starfish dancing. Did you say starfish dancing?
Yeah, that's my cerebral palsy single.
I thought you could
Someone animate that and send it to us, please.
Like Jerry West is the NBA logo. You need a guy with cerebral palsy to be the logo.
Josh Blue?
Yeah.
There you go.
Draw him up. Long hair, hand all crooked.
We draw up Josh Blue.
What was the guy's name in England that you said?
Oh, there's a guy in Australia called Steady Eddie.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Steady Eddie is...
That's like naming a little guy Big John.
Yeah.
Steady Eddie was a guy with cerebral palsy. I'm sure he's still working, but he was very popular in sort of like the early
90s. Does each country have one of these?
We all have one. Francisco Martinez is the one in Britain. Everyone's got one.
There can't be two.
But it's funny because we have... Every country has several dwarf comedians.
Yeah.
That's a disability that really is good for the comedy. The dwarf community are really stepping up to the plate. They have to be close to it before they can do they do step up to the plate.
Has your kid seen a midget or a dwarf yet?
I have a great dwarf story. Yeah. I have a great dwarf story. So one of my good friends is Brad William, the dwarf, who's been on the podcast. Brad's been on the podcast, right?
I thought my chair was...
Yes, yeah, a couple times.
Right? My chair was
so
high.
I think I told this story, but it's I was telling like 39 or something, and my son was 2 or 3, and what happened was my son was like, Dad's birthday's coming up. And so he just assumed that everyone had birthday parties like kids do.
Yeah.
I didn't care if my 39th, that's not a memorable birthday, came and went. But so my ex threw like a party that had... It was like a kid's party. I had a cake. There was fucking balloons. And all this other stuff. So my 3-year-old son, I'm talking to Brad, and my 3-year-old son walks up, and it's his first dwarf experience.
That's an important thing.
And I was like, here we go. What's going to happen here?
Yeah.
And so Hank looks the dwarf up and down and goes, oh, but it wasn't rude. And Brad always says the kids are the meanest because they don't know what they're looking at.
Yeah.
Right? And so he looks the dwarf up and down. And then just walks away. And I said to Brad, I said, sorry about that. I don't know if that was good or bad. And then Brad was like, no, that's fine. That was a reasonable reaction. A minute later, my son shows back up and he hands Brad a balloon. Because obviously he thought, well, every kid at the party should have a balloon. Even this weird kid with the beard and the big forehead deserves a balloon. Right? But then for the rest of the party, I wouldn't let Brad stop because I go, you're going to hurt my son if you let go of that balloon.
You got to hold the balloon.
So Brad had to walk around with a balloon the whole time. Now.
Wait, you asked that like you had a story.
My daughter just saw her first one and she said, why is that little girl so old?
Yeah,
and it was out loud, everybody heard it. Yeah. The old little girl thought it was funny, but I think it was nice.
Yeah,
we were in Australia. What's her name?
Tanya
Lee Davis.
Yeah,
Tanya Lee Davis came backstage at my Australian gig, and I had some friends. Angelo Zaroukas's daughter was there, who's a comic.
Yeah,
and
she took me by. I was out of the room, and she goes,
Tanya Lee Davis.
No, the little girl. Yeah, Tanya Lee Davis was who was there, but Angelo's daughter
Zaroukas. Yeah.
Grabbed me by the hand and was like, Forrest, come here. And she grabbed me and walked me all the way in, walked all the way up to Tanya, and like 2 feet away, just pointed in her face. Like that. Like, I was like, holy shit. She was like, at you. It was just like,
She was like, have you seen it? And like, obviously, Tanya had had so many kids stare and all that.
Oh, yeah, she had a good line.
And because the little girl went, why are you like this? And she just stared at her and goes, I didn't eat my vegetables.
Yeah, that was good. That's cute.
Yeah. So in the first act, we talked about how we always need scapegoats. And at look, at the Jim Jefferies Show, we're a big fan of animal props. And so we brought on a goat. We've had Carl the Camel, and now we brought in Scapey the Scapegoat. And Scapey the Scapegoat, all day we did rehearsals.
Because the scapegoat, the word scapegoat actually comes from when they used real goats. Like a village or a town would tie all these pieces, like notes or pieces of like red wool, and it would represent all the sins of the people, and they'd send the goat out into the desert to die.
It was before we had Jesus.
Oh, thank God.
That was the way we used to get forgiven for our sins. Before we had Jesus, we had goats.
Yeah.
The greatest of all time. Anyway, so we had this goat that came on. Now, it was obviously a TV goat. Because last time we had the camel, people complained that animal cruelty or something. The animals aren't, these are TV and film animals. They are not hurt in any way. They are well taken care of, more than most animals.
Yeah, this goat's like doesn't even know what the world of other goats is like. This is a Hollywood goat.
It's do you have a good goat handler?
Yeah, those people, we have a good goat hanger.
Those people can
but,
be fun.
Like,
there's no, a company.
What
there's a company
was,
you call and they have all the...
The same guy who brought the camel, brought the goat.
The person comes with them that cares so much about them.
The last,
and the thing is, it's not for every goat. They have to show like star quality at a young age.
Yeah.
They have to show star quality as a kid. I'm out.
Okay. Now, when we had a camel on earlier this season, and when we had the camel on, we were shooting it. It was in the studio. And then one of our writers goes up to one of the cameramen and goes, well, is this like the first camel that you've shot? And he goes, I've shot this exact camel 10 times. it's just the same camel's getting worse.
But the weird thing is that guy had only been a cameraman for a week. He just was into camel porn.
Yeah. So anyway. I think we probably mentioned that in the show. But anyway, so this goat, I'm sure, has been on a million different things.
So we had the goat on, and we did this whole thing.
Right behind you, all the things on the wall.
Yeah, we had like the scapegoat. We got something from the goat. We got the thing.
No, we have all the tweets. We'll
probably have the thing that was hanging off its
Yeah, it's right behind you. It's right there.
Oh, there it is. There it is. Yeah. So what happened was,
we hung tweets
when we had
comments.
Carl the Camel on, and I was doing the act. Now, I did this act in one take, I got to tell you. That's why there's a few fluffs on it. But what happened was, when we did the camel just started pissing.
Right in the closing.
And I did acknowledge that the camel's pissing. There was urine all over the floor. It was fucking camel piss. And then when we did the scapegoat, I was out there doing. I was holding the leash on the goat, and I was doing the routine. And everyone started laughing. And my ego went, Jim, you're killing us. People are loving what you're doing right now. But it turns out the camel was shitting itself.
Little pellets.
I didn't know that.
Little, they're poop pellets.
Yeah, they're little.
I don't expect real
shit. They eat grass. A little grass filled little thing. Like if you were going to eat an animal shit, I've decided the best one's goat.
That's the best shit to eat?
If you were going to eat, you got to put one little bit of shit in your mouth.
I'd go squirrel. I got a couple of squirrels in my yard. They leave nice, cute shits.
I would say like a worm, because a worm's like shit soil anyway.
You're already
so it's not
eating
really
worm shit.
Yeah, so probably...
I'm going to give you a DQ.
Although I eat the poo tracked out the back of a prawn.
Yeah, you've done that a lot.
Yeah, I don't fucking worry about that. It's just fucking
so shrimp piss.
Written stuff. I eat shrimp shit all day.
By the way, Steady Eddie's still alive, just so you know.
Steady Eddie married a woman who was better looking than him. Surprise, surprise. And on the wedding cake, they put Beauty and the Beast. Isn't that adorable? Anyway, she took all of his money.
On his
And she probably cut the cake.
On his Wikipedia page, Steady Eddie, it says, see also Josh Blue.
Oh.
It's like a reference.
That's just, that's like if you look up Eddie Murphy and they're just like, see also just black comedian. Yeah. Sure.
Okay. Just say, the joke would have worked better with Chris Rock.
I just got nervous in the middle because I'm very boring, non-offensive guy. And I was like,
you're
I don't
not offensive,
be up for...
you work clean?
I do. I would say if you're offended by me, you're fucking out, you're off your tree. Because I've never said anything offensive.
Yeah, see, when you say, if you're offended by me, you're off your tree.
It really rhymes.
Where I would have said something like, if you're offended by me, your mum fucked you too much.
See, that's the big difference.
That's the difference. I like what you're doing there. I understand where you're coming from.
All right, you got to read something, Jim.
Oh, crikey.
We have, there you go. It's right there.
We love ads.
We do. Well, of course we love ads.
Sunbasket. Sunbasket. Have you heard about Sunbasket?
Yeah, you've talked about it before.
Sunbasket has been rated the number one meal kit by leading publications because they make it easy and convenient to cook healthy delicious meals at home. No matter how much you suck in the kitchen, I suck in the kitchen. You know that, right, Forrest?
I don't. Yeah, you cook like a sausage roll. That's the only
thing I've
ever seen you
cook. Suck in the kitchen, but if I had Sunbasket, how? Well, Sunbasket works with the best farms and suppliers to bring you fresh, organic produce and reasonably raised. Responsibly.
Oh, yeah, I can't even see it from here.
I thought that it says.
I think you did that last time and I cracked you, but said, I gave you my sheet.
I thought it said reasonably raised meat. Like they had one good parent, the other parents are drunk. It was a reasonably raised piece of meat. Responsibly raised meat and seafood delivered right to your door. Everything is pre-measured and easy to prep, meaning less hassle and less food waste, which I hate waste. Please, plus. Plus, you can get a healthy and delicious meal on the table in about 30 minutes. Better yet, now you get more options than ever. Forrest just made lettuce-wrapped turkey sliders with Asian slaw. How were they, Forrest?
They're good. Yeah, they're very good.
Okay, good read. Yeah, no. Just go to Sun.
I was going
to
tell you how they were.
Okay, where were they?
You were supposed to eat this, but I don't know where you were. We got Sunbasket delivered us food. They delivered us salmon, chicken, and then the turkey meatballs with a little red. Yeah, the sauce is very good. They give you a lot of sauce so you can keep extra and like put it on other stuff. You don't care anymore?
No, I care.
Would you like some next time they send them?
Did you feel like you're what you call a portly man? Did you feel like that was enough food for you?
Yeah, no, there was a ton of food in the whole basket. Yeah, it was enough to like for like several meals. Mm. Yeah, that's the whole idea. Mm.
Just go to Sunbasket app and pick up
great.
And pick from 18 healthy weekly recipes ranging from paleo. I've never eaten that recipe. Gluten-free, lean and clean. Ooh, lean and clean. Vegan, Mediterranean. That seems out of place with the other options. Family options and more. Choose any recipes you like. Skip a week or cancel any time. They don't give a fuck at Sunbasket. You eat as you please. I'm reading this directly. There's something for every healthy journey and every busy lifestyle. Go to sunbasket.com/gym today to learn more. Get $35 off your first order. That's sunbasket.com/gym for $35 off. sunbasket.com/gym.
What was it?
Sunbasket.com.
Yeah, I know what it is. All right, you said enough.
/gym. Forrest eats lettuce wraps. We should do a piece on that.
Field piece.
We should do an entire act on the fucking TV show called Forrest and the Lettuce Wraps. Sounds like a fucking trip to Narnia, if you ask me. Anyway, so what was act two, Forrest?
Act two, we talked about happiness. So, and
it's a warm gun.
Yeah.
The Beatles knew what they were talking about.
Basically, how difficult it is to be happy for a lot of people. Like most, overall, you know, we found out that America is in the third most depressed country.
Third
overall,
most depressed.
Who's, in the whole world.
You didn't watch the show. Who's number one? Have a guess.
Oh, fuck.
There are two big countries that are in front of us. Giant countries.
Are they surprising or is this like, oh, yeah?
No, not surprising.
Yeah, you'd think a lot of sad stuff's going on.
India?
Yeah. How did you guess?
Look at
India.
That.
Yeah.
India. And we said on the joke, that's fucking karma for you.
Yeah.
Hey? All your fucking holistic medicine and shit, and you're still miserable cunts. Turns out that you can't beat Prozac.
I think it's the poverty.
Oh, yeah, the poverty.
It's more the problem in India.
Yeah, I bet
this whole survey telling them they're sad isn't going to help much.
Yeah, but their movies are so happy. It's like tick-a-dick-dick-dick-dick-dick-dick. And one of them dances and acts like they're putting in a light bulb. Maybe racist, wow. What I just said. But
I didn't even know what you were just doing.
Even if it is, it's not going to make you any sadder. You're already the saddest. And the second is China.
That's crazy.
Yeah, you think with all the manufacturing that they would be happy because
I feel like
as Americans, we've been told if we bring back manufacturing.
Who did this survey? I feel like this was done by an American that just doesn't know a lot of countries.
It's a company in New Zealand.
Holy fuck.
Anyway.
That makes me sad.
So anyway, yeah, New Zealand must be.
I think they base it on the amount of drugs people are taking, maybe therapy that they're going to, or they're I don't know. So, but I don't think they asked
everyone. I don't remember being asked.
Yeah. I definitely had a guy show up one night and I didn't know what it was for.
Anal sex.
It was this. It was just, he said, are you happy or not? Yeah, I said, yeah.
Did you leave happier or sadder after the anal sex?
Yeah,
I know you work clean, so that means you got no shit on his dick.
No, yeah. I just let him just touch it around the outside. That's just, I have a strict rule.
Wow, that's a bit much, man. Anyway, so it turns out...
Tommy, take it easy.
It turns out, family podcast.
Oh, shit.
It turns out America's number three in the saddest countries in the world. But, and we talked about the pursuit of happiness. You're the only person who has, in one of your bits of paper that you read to people, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And we argue that you're not offered happiness. You're only offered the pursuit of happiness. So what does that mean to you?
You can pursue happiness.
How do you pursue it on a daily basis?
I think it has to be self-defined. I think probably why they're so unhappy is they're not doing what is making themselves happy. They're doing what they think makes people happy. So you just got to.
Many people would argue fingering 18-year-olds, but each to their own.
But wait, are you happy?
I think I'm happy.
You are?
I'm pretty lucky. I was born a white guy in the Midwest. I started on Third.
Yeah.
And, yeah, just being white right now is great.
But we did mention
that. Not in
a
bad way.
We did mention that in this piece that the highest suicide rate is white males, too.
I hope they all do it. Then that'll leave me on the top. I'll be the only white guy left.
Statistically, if one of the three of us were to commit suicide, it would be all of us.
No.
Think about that for a second.
Yeah. By the way,
we all know the answer's Forrest.
It was the World Health Organization that did that survey. So.
Well, oh yeah, that sounds like a real thing.
No, they're actually legit.
I'm the board of directors at the World Health Organization.
It does sound kind of shoddy when you look at it that way, but it is a real organization.
We checked with the president of show business.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, one of the things that was...
I was at the Society of Fun.
One of the things that was interesting and was that there was another study done that said, no matter whether you win the lottery, this would be a good thing, or you go to prison, you know, you're going to get happier or sadder. Eventually, you'll come back to this set level of where you're always at because each person has a baseline of how happy or sad they're at.
Now, we did a great joke on that, but I want you to say it. I want to see you say it.
The joke?
I want to see if you can sell the joke. You know the joke. I went to prison. Here we go.
Okay, so the SOT, so anyways, that's what we say. There's like, so a year later, they're about as happy or unhappy as they were before they won the lottery, and people go to jail. A year later, they're as happy or unhappy as they went. Before they went to jail. That was the video clip. Wow, so even after going to jail, your happiness resets to the level it was before. I can see that. If I went to jail, I'd probably be all right. Sure, you know, there'd be a lot of rapes and beatings the first few months, but then I'd settle down and leave everyone alone.
It's even funny when Forrest says it. That's how good that joke was.
That wasn't terrible.
Yeah.
The joke's good. The reading was not so great. But I did like this... I like this piece. You took a dig at Instagram models. That was fun.
It's, you know why. Anyway.
What's your level of happiness, your baseline? Yours.
Me?
Yeah, Jim.
I've never been happy.
What's your where do you think it's at?
I've had moments of happiness. For me, contentment is enough. Like, not being unhappy is enough. I don't ever believe that I'll ever experience, like, pure happiness because I've had success and I've bought expensive cars and big houses and all that other stuff. It's just not in me. It's like if you give me a TV show or something like that, I've never experienced what people have on The Price is Right.
When they
jump up and down and lose their shit over fucking winning $1,000. I've never experienced that. And it makes me feel selfish. It makes me feel like an ungrateful bastard, but it's just not in me. And Forrest, we've talked about this. It's not in you either.
No, definitely not. I mean, anyone that knows me will tell you that. It's not like I'm a ray of sunshine and like that. I'm not sad, but we're not miserable men, Forrest.
We don't bring parties down. If we arrive, people don't go, you know what I mean? But I've never screamed and yelped in my entire life.
When the first season I worked on the show in the digital department and then I became a writer in the second season. And when you and Scott both told me at the same time that I got the job as a writer, and in my head, I said, I have to act more excited than I know I'm going to look on the outside. Mm-hmm. So I had to like act it. I was like, oh my God. Like, I'm bad at it. Yeah, I was like, price wow. Right.
He tried to act like he came in his pants, but he just sort of shot glass of water on his lap.
I was very excited and happy about it, but I'm just not capable of expressing it properly where I'm just like, ah.
No, I've literally had moments in my career where people have given me $1 million to do something and I went, cool. And it's really sad because I would like to be that person. I would like to scream and I don't feel like you're like that either. I think the happiest I was, one time when I found out I was having a son, I didn't know.
No, you don't have to be Price is Right, but happy.
No. I'm very... Look, my son has turned my mood around completely. I was always a person who didn't know what my point was in the world. And then my son came along, and now I know what my point is.
Yeah.
To kill him.
You're going to have to fight him. That's what with a boy, you got to fight.
One day he's going to try to take over the empire, and I'm training.
When I first moved here, I was at your house, and that was when you did Carnegie Hall. And this is like, this will sum you up. You go, I'm doing Carnegie Hall, but I go, man, that's amazing. And then you just kind of like, yeah, but what's next after that? I mean, yeah. Really, I was like, what the
and,
fuck?
My tickets for Madison Square Garden will be going on sale in a couple of weeks as soon as they announce the New York Comedy Festival. That's happening.
So our set levels are a little bit lower than I guess yours are, Tommy, because you seem to be.
I'm happy. I'm super selfish, but I love being a dad. You know what? It's actually making me happy that I'm happier than you guys right now. That's the kind of person I am.
No.
I really love it.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you.
Oh, I know an example of when, because my Orlando, Leiba, I don't know if he's ever been on the podcast. Orlando. He's a very funny comic. He's my roommate. Remember when I got Conan? When I found out I was doing Conan? Yeah. You remember that?
Yes, I remember.
All right, we need to fix those levels.
So the morning I got the call.
Orlando's got a large mouth like a cave.
I got this is the most excited I've ever been. So I got the call and I was gonna do it, and I was downstairs, he was upstairs, and I just screamed. And because he was used to me just being a certain level, he was like, are you okay? Like, he came downstairs like I was in distress.
Yeah, Orlando was like, Forrest has seen a spider again.
You couldn't accept that I was that happy. You never been on the podcast before, right, Orlando?
No, I haven't. But you were excited because it's a two-story place, and I heard him downstairs.
Orlando's super positive.
Yeah.
Where's your level of happiness is like?
No, my level of happiness, I guess, is average. You guys are low. No, both of you guys are below average. I'm average.
Call you Orlando Bloom of Love.
Yeah.
Now I feel like you're level. Well, you're very positive.
Well, you know, it comes from the fact that, you know, I kind of grew up, you know, my mom got deported, and
must have cheered you up. My mom was a bitch as well.
So, and then I used to take showers out of buckets. We didn't have running water or electricity back in Dominican Republic.
Oh, that sounds like a happy
So life. As soon as I got to the States, man, there's nothing to be sad about. I could flush the toilets as much as I want. Plus, I'm also, even though you're like, I am one of those Price is Right people. I love the Price is Right.
Atlanta.
That is how we learned how to speak.
I just want to see if this works, right?
Yeah.
Now, I've done very well in the whole comedy thing.
Yes, you have.
And we're friends.
Yes.
I admire you.
Yeah.
But I just want to hear this person scream, I'm going to give you $1,000 right now.
Yeah.
No, see, I'm not giving it to you.
No, you were doing the setup.
If he jumped around as soon as I said that, no, the Price is Right shit.
No, but you're supposed to announce his name. So.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
you're the next contestant on the Price is Right. But it's funny because you say you're not a happy person, but I guess it balances out with the level of niceness, am I correct?
English is a terrorist group I work for.
Okay. With the level of how...
All we do is we fix buildings that are falling down.
But your level of... but you're also not like a grumpy guy, though.
No, I'm not a grumpy person.
You're happy...
I'm not hate-filled.
Yeah,
I don't wish ill on others.
No, you're happy to your level. And as a friend, I understood that, and... The way that you share stuff with you. Like, I remember, like, through Forrest and stuff, first time I met you here in L.A. was your birthday or something? And
was Brad walking around with a balloon?
No, that was the second time. I was there for that. And just the fact that you, like, it was a small circle, and you invited us all to your house, and it was like, and I was like, wow, this is nice of Jim showing us that, like, us comics that are still making our way through. Oh, this is real tangible. And you were happy that day. You were happy to share with all of
them. I can't remember. I'm a blackout drunk.
Yeah. But definitely when Hank came into your life, I saw a different side of Jim. There is a certain level of happy. Let me get off this podcast.
Mic anyway? It sounds like we're ordering in a drive-thru right now.
He's talking from inside a Coke can.
I did work at Taco Bell.
You stole money from Taco Bell.
No, it was...
You stole money from Taco Bell. Well, the statute of limitations is passed on this.
Well, in all fairness, I think you still work for Taco Bell, just on the other side.
Yeah, yeah. I just collected money for all my inventions. I invented the fry burrito. I invented that. I used to grab burritos and put them in the deep fry. Where's this podcast going? We're off the lane. Thank you guys for bringing me on. It's been amazing. Thank you so much.
That was Orlando, ladies and gentlemen.
That was Orlando calling from outer space.
Nicest guy in comedy. If you want to go see him, he works at the Taco Bell where?
I don't know.
All right, so let's do act four and let's get the fuck out of here.
Well, we did an act three. Do you not want to talk about it?
An act three, what was that? Oh,
circumcision.
Oh, we did a circumcision piece.
We went to Israel.
I went to Israel. Oh. I was doing gigs there. We didn't just go to Israel. We did a thing on thing and we met the intactivists. Intactivists are people who don't believe in circumcision. Not only do they not believe in it, but they actively don't believe in it, where they have to go tell people off if you cut the end of children's dicks.
What's the opposite of an intactivist?
An activist.
No, an advocate. Hello. Okay, keep going. Because you cut it. Advocate. Cut. I'm winking.
That was so boring that's the safest anyone's been driving their car listening to this podcast. Like zero accidents. You might have saved a life right now from people not laughing. Mm. Anyway, so,
man, I'm happy.
He's Pharrell happy, man. Anyway, so what happened was we talked to some intactivists. It was just like guys that got really angry about circumcision.
It's a great piece. It's going to be online. Watch it. I think the interesting thing about this is there's already people, because you've done bit about circumcising your son, you know, especially because you travel internationally. A lot of people are circumcised.
And everyone can hear the full piece, as I call it, uncut.
People still not crashing their cars, so they. But I think what
saving lives.
What's interesting now is people are already protesting outside of your shows. Like I don't even know how they know you're doing this piece.
Well, I did a bit of my stand up. They didn't even know about this piece, but people who are in the intactivists come and protest at the front of my shows, and that's fucking great.
No one gives a shit. They see them and they're just like,
yeah. All my fans take photos with the intactivists.
Just a bunch of dudes in turtlenecks.
Yeah. Yeah, they actually, and you weren't here for the taping, so they actually wear these white pants with like blood stain, it's red, whatever, like crotches, and that's where they go around and protest.
They're very old pants. many people would call them period pieces.
Are you getting these protests in America?
Yes, in America.
Wow, this is fucking crazy. Yeah.
Yes, in America. You think I can't work in America?
No, I didn't know this was a big enough group in America.
No, they come from there, from San Francisco.
San Francisco is where the pants started,
Great.
Which is weird because there's so many gays in San Francisco and you think they'd like an aesthetically good-looking dick.
The only thing is, in the piece you said, hey, I feel like the gay community likes circumcised penis more, but then you asked the cameraman, but we were in Israel.
No.
Was he not from Israel?
If you listen to the piece, I didn't actually say that. I said, I feel like the gay community, I misspoke. I said, doesn't like circumcised penises.
And then
our cameraman went, no, we like circumcised penises.
Okay.
Because I just misstepped, and then I got confused, but the piece was so funny.
Yeah,
the gay community, because our gay cameraman who comes around the world with us, I don't know his full name, it's Gay McGayerson or something, and he comes.
It's good if you're gay for that name, right?
Yeah, it worked out well.
Just imagine.
Think if he was heterosexual, how awkward that would have been. Pony McPrincess was his sister. Anyway, so what happened was but it was funny, so he left it in.
Yeah, the piece was great. So
All right. So then act four.
We'd rather have you eat than that.
We have some ladies in the room. Hello. Hello. Now come up, get a microphone, take it off Orlando and try not to be too echoey. You bought tickets to come and see the show from a charity, correct?
Yes.
What was the charity?
I'm not sure the charity. It was on Charity Buzz. This is a charity auction site.
Oh, it's a charity auction site. So you bought tickets to come along and see the Jim Jefferies show, and that was the experience. Now, I hate to kill your Charity Buzz right now, but the tickets are free.
but this part, to be in part
of this. Oh, no, you can be in this part as well. And also, there's little added specials. You get to go to the podcast. I'll go down on one of you. You can discuss that.
Don't make promises.
Don't make promises. No. I make regrets. Now, are you enjoying yourself? Did you have a good time?
We're having a fantastic time.
How do you two ladies know each other?
We went to law school together.
You went? Are you lawyers?
Both of us.
You're both lawyers. And do we say anything that legally we should regret?
No.
No.
Well, and lawyers listen to this podcast.
What type of law did you do?
I do commercial collections, so I sue people for money.
Oh, I just fell asleep. What do you do?
I work for the government.
Oh, what do you do with the government?
I actually help revitalize poor communities.
That you just said words then. Now that made sense. I help communities become different people. As the town builds up, I help the youth come together. What does that mean? You vitalize communities.
Housing, infrastructure, sewer, water, sidewalks.
Okay, so you're good people. Why are you here? Were you fans of mine before the show, or you just thought, I'll just bid on anything? Was it just the lowest thing on eBay that you go, 5 cents, done?
You thought you were getting Price is Right tickets?
Well, we actually gave the cheer when we found out we won tickets to you, so that you was our level of happiness.
Oh, so you actually have that level of happiness? Oh, that's very sweet.
Yeah, they look happy.
They do look happy. They've been smiling the whole time.
Yeah.
You're actually kind of funny.
I am. Wow. Thank you. That'll help with the career. And you're telling the truth, which will hurt with your career. All right. Thank you for coming, ladies. We're going to wrap this up. Now,
Act four, we got back to the scapegoat.
We sent
the scapegoat out to get killed on Santa Monica Boulevard. Ends up not getting killed. And
what happened was we sent the scapegoat out. Now, I got to talk about Comedy Central in this one.
We sent out to get to that point, though. We sent out the goat
to go out there and get killed for all of our sins and all of our bad things we do on the internet, like he was Jesus.
And it took all of the racist and pedophile jokes and became an internet star.
So what happened was Comedy Central hated this sketch. They were saying to us, they go, we don't want this because on Comedy Central, we're not about funny things. That was their exact words.
No, what happened was the tweets they were fine with. We wrote pedophile tweets for a goat, and they're actually on Twitter.
Yeah,
like one of them was, now, "What's the worst part about having hooves? You can't finger children." So that was one of the tweets. They were okay with that, but they didn't.
I wrote one that didn't get into the show, which was like a man walks into a bar and fuck the kid.
Then it turns out he's performing at the Improv, so the Improv put up on their marquee, Scapey the Scapegoat, now performing from the Jim Jefferies show.
The good people at the Improv have always been very nice to me ever since I moved to this country, that they actually put that up on their marquee. So people were driving by and actually saw Scapey the Scapegoat would be performing at the Improv.
With a picture of a goat. And we were actually going to have him on stage, you know, and like making a noise if we could, and then putting subtitles on him performing.
Comedy Central said, we think if he's on stage, it makes it too sketchy.
Yeah,
a little bit. The fact that we even just said in a room, oh, the scapegoat is becoming a comedian, isn't that already sketchy enough? What happens to the moment where you go, now the goat's on stage, oh, now it's too sketchy. No one will believe that.
So it worked out, though. We had the marquee and then his Netflix.
It would have been funny the other way. It would have been funny if the goat was going, and we had the pedophile jokes written, but I had to read them anyway. But it was okay.
It was funny. Yeah, it was still really funny, man.
I always rank the episodes in my mind. I put this out of the 36 episodes we made.
Yeah.
Number 8 with a bullet.
I thought it was really good. The topics were fun. You were into them.
You know what was good, right? Scott Zabilski, who runs the show, he was sick one of these days, and we got a lot of work done. Scott's a moody cat.
Here, real quick before you go, I just want to read, because we encourage people to send.
I had a cigarette in the office, and Scott's wife was like, how dare you do this in here? Wow. I ashed and grounded it into just to piss his wife off. Because there's nothing better in the world than having a man that you know if you get fired, their life is over as well. And then, like, just to look at his wife, like, don't pick on the meal ticket, right? Just nice. It's fun. It's fun.
Before you go take a piss, Jim.
Does your wife like me? She does. What's her name? Yeah, I do a joke where I don't remember his wife's name.
Yeah, we do it every week. You know?
I remember her boyfriend's name. How's Steve doing? Anyway, so what's the thing?
So before you go, we encourage people to always, like, we have a podcast group that people are on there, and thanks for participating.
T5 Transit.
But we encourage people to send an email.
You're not Australian.
No, stay here. Up, Jim. Finish it first. No, you have to answer this. Finish it. It's a fucking question. All right. So this guy wants, he made a top five list of people he'd like to have dinner with. I just want you to know what this list is. You're on it. Jim Jeffries, Chris Farley, River Phoenix, John Belushi, and Amy Winehouse are the other ones on the list. Everyone else is dead on this list, except for
dead or soon to be dead. Yeah, I like that he puts me in a group of people who died of drug overdoses.
What, yes, sweet alcohol thing. And drugs. So this is what this guy, I don't know, Mike Tippett. I don't know
Fuck
what he's
you,
in.
You, Mike Tippett.
There you go, Mike.
Fuck you. I'm not going to your dinner party. Come to your fucking dinner party.
He's invited you to come with four corpses.
I feel like you're the only cunt that won't be taking drugs, Mike Tippett. You want to watch everyone else getting wasted. It's like Trump. He never had a drink. He's out of control. You put a bad taste in my mouth. This podcast is fucked.
All right. Good night, everyone. That was nice. Jim just spit on me for 2 minutes. That was pretty fun. Smells like lobster. So if there's a topic he wants to talk to us, you can tweet at us at Jeffrey Show. You can email it. Also, I said, why would you do this? And then I was corrected on why you should do this. Please subscribe and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you listen to podcasts. And I was like, if you're listening to this, don't you already know? But if you are listening to it and you haven't subscribed, please subscribe, because I guess that helps us in sort of iTunes ratings, and we're very vain. Review it, rate. Keep talking about how much you love and hate my voice. It really makes me feel great. And thank you to our guest, Tommy Jonigan. You have your own podcast, The Local News.
The Local News.
That's it. They can find it by just...
You can find it by The Local News. It's the news that won't make you sad. We don't do politics or pop culture.
Oh, so it's actual fun, local news.
Fun, yeah. Local news stories, myself and Alex Stone, on iTunes and shit. We have the same desires of being rated and
yes,
complained about.
So listen to that podcast, and you can find him at Tommy Jonigan. It's TommyJohnagin.
That's how I spell it.
Perfect. Right? Thank you for being on the podcast.